Our Bibles tonight to the book of Jude, and so good to look out over this congregation and see so many friendly faces here tonight, and it's good to be among friends. Appreciate these men, count each of them on this platform as a friend, and I appreciate each of them. Looking forward to the ministry of these men of God this week. We're going to the book of Jude. And don't do this very often, but I'll do it tonight. You can pick the chapter, and I'll pick the verses. All right, Jude, verse number 3. We're going to begin there and read 3 verses, verses 3, 4, and 5 from the book of Jude. Amen. And I've felt this on my heart for quite some time. After that, the elder asked me to be one of the speakers at this camp meeting. Been open to the Holy Ghost, but the Lord just continues to impress this, and I'm going to preach what I feel in the Holy Ghost tonight. Jude, verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." Would you say amen to the reading of the word of the Lord tonight? If you'll help me, I want to preach for just a little while about the death of unbelief. The death of unbelief. I wonder if you would pray with me right now. Let's ask God to help us open our hearts up to His word the remainder of this service this evening. God, in your presence. Of this service tonight. Somebody lift your voice up with me and let's pray together right now. Holy Ghost, help us. Hallelujah. In the name of the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Amen. I'm going to ask you to pray again with me right now. I understand that if I'm going to preach, I need to be in the Spirit to preach. I hope that you understand that if you're going to receive it, you need to be in the Spirit in order to receive it. Let's pray one more time and let's ask God to help us to walk out in the Holy Ghost here tonight in the name of the Lord. Oh, God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Move on us with your Spirit tonight, God. Anoint us with your Spirit tonight, God. Not only to preach the word, to receive the word in the name of the Lord Jesus. We're careful to give you praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, and you can be seated in the name of the Lord. Unbelief keeps bad company. And you will find in the word of God that you do not want to be in the same company as unbelief is. The scripture tells us in the book of Titus, in the 1st chapter and the 15th verse of scripture, that unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure. But even their mind and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and unto every good work reprobate. It's amazing the kind of categorization that God places the unbeliever in. Not only does he say that they are defiled, but he said they are unbelieving. And to them, to the unbelieving, is nothing pure. Their mind, their conscience is defiled. Professing that they know God, but in works they deny him. He said they are abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. Anybody here want to join that company? I think not. I don't think that any of us want to be in the company of the unbeliever. Again, in the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter, and verses 7 and 8, the Apostle John said, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Again, we find the unbelieving in very bad company, with the fearful, with the abominable, with the murderers and the whoremongers, with the sorcerers and idolaters and liars. Again, the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth, and he said, "Don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers." And then he says, "For what fellowship does righteousness have with unrighteousness? And what communion does light have with darkness? And what agreement does the temple of God have with idols?" He is using these comparisons as that of the believer with the unbeliever. Don't be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever, because that's like having fellowship with unrighteousness. That's like having communion with darkness. And that's like being a part of a temple that it belongs to idolatry. And so we're not going to have fellowship with unbelief tonight. As a matter of fact, I think that we ought to just settle it once and for all in this service. We're going to disfellowship unbelief in this house. I'm going to say that again. We are disfellowshipping unbelief in this house tonight. Well, praise God. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Amen. It doesn't take a whole lot of unbelief to be an unbeliever. If there is one verse of Scripture in the Bible that you don't believe, you're an unbeliever. I said, if there is one verse of Scripture in the Bible that you don't believe, that makes you an unbeliever. I believe every word in the book. It's all Scripture. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Every word of this Bible is inspired by the Holy Ghost, and it's profitable for correction and instruction in righteousness and for rebuke, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. Praise God. I don't want to be categorized with an unbeliever tonight. I want to be in the camp of those that have faith in God, of those that believe every word of God. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Are the rest of y'all going to help me tonight? Y'all going to step there and look at me? Amen. Amen. Y'all sitting there looking at me wondering if I can preach, and I'm standing up here wondering how much preaching y'all can handle tonight. Well, hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. I hope to God that before we walk out of this house, that faith can arise in our hearts. I believe that our God is able to do exceeding and abundant above all that we ask or think, even according to the power that worketh within us. And if there is going to be any power working in us tonight, it's going to be faith, because that's the only way that God does work, is by that and through the avenue of faith. Unbelief hinders God. Unbelief stops God. Unbelief keeps God from doing things. He could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And if there is unbelief in this house tonight, I want to serve notice on that spirit. We're here to destroy you. We're here to kill unbelief. We're not here to sympathize with it. We're not going unbelief in this house tonight, then I pray to God that we can have some funerals before we walk out of here. Well, hallelujah. I said we ought to just determine that we're going to have some funerals before we leave this house. That we're going to have the funeral of doubt. That we're going to have the funeral of fear. That we're going to have the funeral of unbelief. And that faith is going to come alive. Somebody's going to get a miracle. Somebody's going to get their healing. Somebody's going to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Somebody's going to get an answer from the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. In Luke the 18th chapter, Jesus began that chapter by saying, or the scripture begins that chapter by saying that he taught them this parable. That men, for this reason, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. He taught them a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. And the parable is about the little widow woman that comes before the unjust judge. And she is determined that she's going to get what she's coming for. And the Bible says that that unjust judge doesn't fear God and he doesn't regard men. But she came and wearied him so much that he finally said, take care of that lady. Give her whatever she wants. I'm tired of her coming and knocking on my door day in and day out. I'm tired of it. Now do whatever needs to be done for that lady. And Jesus said, how much more if that unjust judge will avenge that little widow woman, how much more readily will your Father which is in heaven avenge his own elect who cry day and night unto him. But the end of the parable really brings it into focus, because he ends the parable by saying this, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He doesn't ask, shall he find prayer? The purpose of the parable was to encourage prayer to the intent that men ought always to pray and not to faint. But he ends the parable by saying, nevertheless, when the Son of Man returns, is he going to find faith on the earth? The reason that he says that is because that prayer and faith are inseparable. Prayer and faith are twins that cannot be separated. They're Siamese twins, if you please, joined together at the heart. Where prayer dies, faith dies. And where faith is dead, prayer is dead. You wanna know why that prayer is lacking in your heart? I'll tell you why. Your faith isn't what it ought to be. Unbelief has crept in. You don't really believe that God still hears and that God still answers prayer. As long as there is faith, there's going to be prayer. It's when faith dies that the prayer room becomes vacant. It's when faith dies and unbelief begins to creep in amongst the people of the Most High God that worship dies. There's no shouting. There's no dancing. There's no joy. There's no peace. There's no praying. There's no miracle. There's no healing. There's no deliverance. There's no revival. There's no outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Again, in Luke the 11th chapter, Jesus gave us the parable of the importunate friend. The man that went to his neighbor at midnight and began to knock on the door. And the man within his house said, go on home and leave me alone. My family's in bed here with me and you're disturbing us. Go on back home. Come back in the morning. But that man stayed right there and just kept on knocking. He said, no, I'm not leaving. I'll wake the whole neighborhood up, but I'm not going back until you come down and get me the bread that I am asking for. It's the midnight hour that we're living in, church. And if we ever needed bread to put on the table for those that are coming in their journey, it's now. When people come into this house that are lost, that need something from God, it's our responsibility to have some bread on the table. Not something stale. Not something that's 6 days. Hallelujah. The Bible says that he will not rise and give him because that he is his friend, but because of his importunity, he will arise and give him as many as he needeth. And Jesus went on to say, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, then how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? If we know beyond any shadow of doubt that if we ask we will receive, then pray tell, how long are we going to keep asking? If we know that if we seek we shall find, then how long are we going to keep seeking? If we know that if we knock it shall be opened unto us, then how long are we going to keep knocking? I hope that there is something on the inside of you that has already responded to those questions by saying, I'm going to keep on until. I'm going to keep on until. I'm going to keep on asking until. If I know that if I ask, I shall receive, then I'm going to keep asking until the answer comes. If I know that if I seek, I shall find, then how long am I going to keep seeking? I'm going to keep on seeking until. If I know that if I knock, the door shall be opened, then how long am I going to keep knocking? It's going to be until. I'm not giving up. That's what real faith is. Oh yeah. Real faith refuses to be discouraged. Real faith refuses to be denied. Real faith says, I'm going to keep praying until. I know that in our scripture text tonight, in the book of Jude, that the scripture says that we must earnestly. Jude said, hey, it's needful for me to write unto you that you should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. I understand that the principal application of that verse of scripture refers to the doctrine. And thank God for this one God, Jesus' name, apostolic tongue talking holiness believing church, and the doctrine that we hold dear to our hearts. And we must, it is not an option, we must contend for that one God faith. We must contend for this Jesus' name faith. We must contend for this Holy Ghost infilling, speaking in other tongues doctrine. And we must contend for this holiness message that we love and hold dear. Amen. Amen. You want a fight on your hands? You're going to have one from any true apostolic preacher. If you start watering down the faith, if you start denying the faith, if you start denying the coming of the Lord, if you start denying water baptism in Jesus' name, if you start denying the oneness apostolic message, if you begin to deny this holiness message, if you start watering down the standards, you're going to have a fight on your hand. Not only from every apostolic preacher, but every true apostolic saint of God. Nobody that has a love for the truth in their hearts is going to put up with false doctrine, with watering down the truth of God's word. However, I am convinced tonight that this passage of scripture goes beyond just contending for the doctrine. I am convinced tonight that these verses of scripture make reference to more than just the oneness of God, more than just Jesus' name baptism, more than just Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, more than just holiness living. I believe that it goes beyond that. And I believe that God is calling his church up in this end time hour to another dimension of faith. I believe that God is reaching for us. God's speaking to us. And God is moving in our midst. Can I preach for just a few minutes about the three dimensions of faith? That first dimension of faith is just saving faith. And thank God for faith that brought us to the house of God. Thank God for faith that brought us to an altar of repentance. Thank God for faith that took us to the waters of baptism. Thank God for faith that brought us to the infilling of the Holy Ghost and we spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Thank God for that first dimension of faith. But you know as well as I do that everybody that gets it doesn't make it all the way home. There's another dimension of faith, and that second dimension of faith is a faith that will carry you through the storms that you face in living for God. God never promised you a rose garden. He never promised you that living for Him was going to be tiptoeing through the tulips. He never promised you that it was going to be floating on white fluffy clouds in a blue sky. But He did promise you that you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer persecution. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. You're going to have problems. Storms are going to come your way. You're going to walk through valleys and climb up steep mountainsides. Oh, thank God for that second dimension of faith that keeps us in the midst of the trials of life. Hallelujah. How long you been in the church? How long you been living for God? Oh, thank you, Jesus. If you've been here for 6 months, you ought to thank God. You're starting to walk in another dimension of the Holy Ghost and a faith in God that God's going to see me through. I didn't start to drop out. He didn't teach me to swim to let me sink. He didn't teach me to fight to let me lose out in the battle. I'm going to make it all the way. I'm going to make it through every trial. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God.
Amen.
Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sore? Nay, in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height nor depth, nor any other creature. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Oh, hallelujah. That second dimension of faith, we're going to make it. The race is not to the swift, neither is the battle to the strong, but he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. You know what it's going to take to make it? You're going to have faith. This is a walk of faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith. I said the just shall live by faith. Hallelujah. I'm not walking by feeling. It doesn't matter what my circumstances say. It doesn't matter what's going on around me. It doesn't matter what kind of environment I'm living in. I'm a child of God. I've got faith in God. God's going to see me through. He will not put more on me than what I can bear. But in every one of my temptations, He said, I will. I'll make a way of escape. If you want to live for God, you can. If you want to live for God, you can. In spite of the world, in spite of the filth, in spite of the garbage, in spite of the cussing, in spite of the smoke being blown in your face, in spite of the filthy jokes, in spite of the lies, in spite of the rumors, in spite of the backbiting, you can make it if you want to. You can stay in the church if you want to. You can hear Him say, well done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I get tired of hearing. I don't want to hear it. I'm tired of hearing it. I don't want to hear it no more. Folks say I can't make it. Folks say I can't do it. And what they're really saying is the Holy Ghost ain't strong enough. What they're really saying, God's not big enough. I want to tell you what I've got to say to that. You're a liar. You are a liar. You stop lying against the Holy Ghost. You stop lying against God. God's not the problem. The church is not the problem. The Holy Ghost is not the problem. The problem is you're not praying. The problem is you've lost faith. The Holy Ghost is calling us to a higher dimension. I believe God wants to do more for us than just for us to sustain. I believe God wants us to have more faith than just faith for maintenance in the kingdom. I believe God wants us to rise up to that third dimension of faith, to where that we become what He intended for us to be when He died on the cross, when He hung on Calvary. He didn't have in mind a maintaining church. When He hung on Calvary, He didn't have in mind a just getting by church. When He hung on Calvary, He didn't have in mind a lukewarm church. When He hung on the cross, His blood was not shed for a church that was just barely hanging on life support with IVs in her arm and oxygen hooked up to her. That's not the kind of a church that He had in mind. He had in mind a militant church, a revival church, a power-packed church, a church of miracles, a church of signs and wonders, a church of apostolic revival. People getting the Holy Ghost. Bible studies being taught. People getting the Holy Ghost in their living rooms, in their kitchens, in their vehicles, while the preacher's preaching, while the song service. My God, it's time for us to rise up to that third dimension of faith and start believing God. Amen. Oh yeah. And so Jude said, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved, everybody say saved. He saved the people out of the land of Egypt afterward, after they were saved. Oh, come on now. After that they were saved. After that they were saved, He destroyed them that believed not. They didn't follow on. They didn't go as far as God wanted them to go. They stopped short. They said, we don't think we can go any further than this. They said, this is as far as we're willing to go. We're tired of the battle. We're tired of the march. We're tired of the fight. We're tired of following. We're tired of being tired. And they said, we're not going to go any further. But God said, yes, you are. Either you're going to go further, you're going to die in this wilderness. And I'm going to raise up another generation that's going to follow me wherever I lead them. They're going to go as far as I want them to go. They're not going to stop short. They're not going to stop on this side of Jordan. They're not going to be content to build their tents and to build their houses in the wilderness. They've got their eyes set on a goal. They've got their heart set on a promised land. A land flowing with milk and honey. Oh, and so he was upset. You think God got upset? He got upset. Oh, yeah. You can read it not only there in the Old Testament, but you can read it in the New Testament, where that God penned it for those of us living in the New Testament church age, so that we could learn from their mistakes. In Hebrews chapter number 3, He said, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. God put up with a lot out of the children of Israel, even after that they had come out of Egypt, after that He had saved them from the bondage and the slavery of Pharaoh. He put up with a lot of murmuring. He put up with a lot of grumbling. He put up with a lot of complaining. But He never got as upset and angry with His people as what He did when He had brought them to Kadesh Barnea. And they came to that place and turned back and said, we cannot go any further. We will not believe that God can do any more than what He's already done. I feel the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm preaching to Racine Apostolic Church right now. You better stop saying that the best days of this church are in her past. I'm here to tell you in the Holy Ghost, that is not the truth. God has better things in store. God has better. He's got better things in store. Our God's not a diminishing God. Our God is not going down. Our God is not getting weaker. Oh no. But I read about the exceeding greatness of God. You know what that means? That means that we haven't seen the best yet. That means that the greatest that God has done, He can exceed that. He is an exceeding great God. We haven't had our best revival. We haven't had our best church. We haven't had our best camp meeting. We haven't had our best service. Hallelujah. We can have a great one tonight, but it could be the best we've ever had. But God will do greater tomorrow night and then better Friday night. Hallelujah. Let's just keep climbing up a little bit higher and saying, God, you're the same yesterday and today and forever. God had every right to be upset with Israel. He had every right to be angry with Israel after all that He did to deliver them from captivity. He delivered them, the Bible says, with a stretched out arm and a mighty hand. With the right hand of God, He brought it down again and again. Moses went down to Egypt and said, Pharaoh, let me tell you what God said. God said, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, no way, they're not getting out of here. We're enjoying their work as slaves, and we're not going to let them go. And God said, now Moses, you tell Pharaoh that he is going to let my people go. He's going to let them go now, or when I get through with him, he's going to let them go. But one way or the other, they are getting out of here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so it was blood. Water turned to blood. They turned the hydrant on and it was blood that came out. They went to wash their hands in the bathroom sink and blood came out. They went to get them a glass of water and it was blood. Blood, water into blood. And Pharaoh said, all right, Moses, get on out of here. And then he changed his mind, said, I'm not going to let them go. And God said, all right, it's time for the frogs. And so the frogs came. And Pharaoh said, all right, and again and again, and lice and flies and cattle dying and boils and hell and locusts and darkness. And then the firstborn son of every family in all of Egypt dying. And finally Pharaoh said, all right, get out of here. And the children of Israel spoiled the Egyptians, took the wealth with them when they left, and walked out of Egypt's bondage on their way to the promised land. Amen. And God gave them miracle after miracle. They got to the Red Sea. No way to get across. Pharaoh's army deciding that we're going to bring them back. Mountains on either side of them. No way out. And they started grumbling and saying, would to God we just stayed over there in Egypt. And Moses said, shut up and see the... Well, he might have been a little more diplomatic than that. But he said, y'all just be quiet now. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God caused a strong east wind to blow. Blew all night long. And that cloud that had been in front of them went back and stood behind them, between them and the Egyptian army. And the angel that was leading them went back and stood between them and the Egyptian army. And they woke up the next morning when the sun arose. They looked out there and there was dry ground. Water on this side and water on this side. And they walked across on dry ground. Amen. He gave them manna to eat. He gave them water out of the rock. He defeated the Amalekites on their behalf. He gave them the law at Sinai. He gave them miracle after miracle after miracle. The tabernacle, the pillar of cloud by day, the pillar of fire by night. And when they finally get to Kadesh Barnea, they say, God can't do anything. God can't help us. What an insult to God. I said, what an insult to God. After all that God had done for them, after all the miracles that God had already given them, and then for them to say, God can't do this for us. My God, have mercy. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? After all God's already done for you, and you want to tell me that He can't do anything else now? After all that God has already done for us, after all of the miracles that He's already given us, and for anybody in this house to doubt God and say, God can't do this that I need tonight. He can't give me the miracle that I need tonight. What a slap in God's face. What an insult unto God. No wonder that He said, you're going to die. Your carcasses, your bones are going to bleach in the sun, in the desert. You wouldn't believe that I could do what I said that I would do for you. Amen. God had gave them a promise. And it was doubt in the promise that God had already given them. God had already told them, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. God had already told them, I'm going to fight your battles for you. God had already been a witness to them that He would do what He said He would do, Brother Parker. He had already done what He said He was going to do. And now then they are at Kadesh Barnea. And 10 stupid, ignorant, low-down, filthy, sorry. Amen. Evil. Ungodly. I'm telling you, those 10 spies that came back with an evil report. They were as low as a snake's belly. Amen. They were sorry. Came back with that evil report of unbelief. Saying, it's everything we heard it was. Look at this fruit we brought back. Look at this. It's everything you heard it was. It's everything God told us that it was. But there's giants over there. But there's fenced cities over there. Dear God, what were they doing looking at the giants and looking at the fenced cities? They ought to have had their eyes on the author and the finisher of their faith. They shouldn't have been looking at the obstacles. They ought to have been looking at the author and the finisher of their faith. Somebody here tonight needs to get their eyes off of their problem. Get their eyes off of their sickness. Get their eyes off of their mountain. Get their eyes off of their trouble. And get your eyes on the author and the finisher of your faith. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Did you notice how many times, as we read down through Hebrews chapter number 3, that God said today, everybody say today. Today, if you will hear His voice. Today, if you will hear His voice. God is sick and tired of our procrastination. We need to stop procrastinating and saying God's going to do it tomorrow. God's going to give us revival tomorrow. God's going to give us a miracle tomorrow. God's going to heal me tomorrow. God's going to save me tomorrow. As long as it's tomorrow, it'll never happen. But now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Not faith for tomorrow. Not faith for next week. Not faith for next month. Not faith for Sunday night. But now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Amen. God said, Moses, you go down there into Egypt and you bring my people out. And Moses said, who am I going to say sent me? And God said, you tell them, I am has sent you. Not I was and not I'm going to be, but I am. He is a present help. He is a present God. He's not the God that wants to do it tomorrow, but he said, don't harden your heart. I want to do it today. 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 Don't harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that God... Amen. We're always waiting for tomorrow to get here. And tomorrow's the day that never comes. We've got to bring it down into the present. Amen. You know when you got the Holy Ghost? When you brought your faith right into the present. And you said, I believe God's given me the Holy Ghost right now. And that present faith. That I am faith. That God of right now faith. That's when you got the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yeah. Amen. How many of you have ever been healed by the Lord? Have you been healed by God? You know when it was that you got that healing? When faith came into the present. When faith came into the here and now. Not tomorrow, God. Not next week. Not next month. But God, I believe that healing is happening in my body right now. I believe that I'm receiving my miracle even right now. Now, faith. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. And through faith, we understand. Through faith, we understand what? That the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. How do you know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God? Were you there? Did you witness it with your eyes? Did you see it? Were you an eyewitness of it? No. No, how do you know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God? By faith. Faith says the worlds were framed by the Word of God. You know how we know it? Because God's Word says it, and our faith believes it. And faith is more evidence to us than fact is. Amen. I said faith is more evidence to us than fact is. Because you can't reason this out with your mind. You can't reason it out that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. There's only one way that you can believe that, and that is by faith. You've got to believe it by faith because the Word of God speaks it. And when the Word of God speaks it, faith says, I believe it. When the Word of God says it, faith says, I believe it. And so by faith we know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Oh, hallelujah. By faith we know that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. How do you know? How do you know that you're saved? Well, praise God. By faith and works. Isn't that right? Because faith without works is dead, being alone. And so when you believe, you obey. And if you don't obey, you don't believe. If you don't obey, your faith is invalid. If you don't obey, your faith don't stand the test of the Word. Well, hallelujah. Amen. And so time and time again, you're going to find in the Word of God where that God says, just do this. And when they did that, it happened.
mother of Jesus got the servants together, and she brought the servants to Jesus and said, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Just whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." And he said, "Go get some water. Go fill these pots up with water." And they went and filled the pots up with water. And he said, "Now go pour some wine in the cup of the governor over there." Well, hallelujah. Amen. You know what? It took some faith for them to do what they did. It took some faith for them to do what they did. Wouldn't it have been something if they'd have went over there and poured what the governor thought was going to be wine, and he'd have got water instead of wine? But they had faith that whatever he said to do, just do it. Just do it. Amen. Jesus spit on the ground. A blind man needed a healing, needed a miracle. Jesus spit on the ground, made some spittle out of the spit and the clay, and he took it and put it in the blind man's eyes, and he said, "Go wash in the pool of Siloam." And the blind man went. He obeyed. He washed, and he came seeing. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? You know who the arm of the Lord is going to be revealed to? Those that believe the report. That's who's going to... He's going to reveal his arm to those that believe his report. Amen. My son used to, when he was little, 3 or 4 years old, he'd crawl up in daddy's lap. He'd say, "Daddy, show me your muscle." And I'd say, "Oh, son, go on, leave me alone." "Oh, daddy, show me." I was wanting to show him bad, you know, but I'd flex that muscle, and he'd reach up there and feel it. He'd say, "Woo." Oh, he is dreaming. He's still dreaming. You know what? God wants us to just crawl up in his lap and say, "Father, show me your muscle." And you know what? He delights. He delights in doing that. God delights in showing his strength and arm and muscle to his people. He delights in showing us how big he is, how great he is, how mighty he is, what all he can do. Amen. Somebody ought to crawl up in his lap here tonight and say, "God, I want to see your muscle. I know you can do this. I know that this isn't too hard for you. I know this isn't too big for you, God. I know that you can do this, God." Amen. You see, faith imparts reality to the mind concerning things that are otherwise unreal and elusive. But faith is all the fact that I need. I don't have to have any other facts. I don't have to have any other evidence. I don't have to have any other substance. The only evidence that I need is just faith. That is the evidence of things hoped for. That's the substance, the evidence of things not seen. Hallelujah. Amen. Faith has got me convinced it's going to happen. Faith has got me convinced. There's no question in my mind. I've got all the fact I need, and all the fact I need is just I believe God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. For without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Oh, hallelujah. If my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, I will forgive their sins. I will heal their land. Oh, hallelujah. He didn't say I might, but he said I will. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. For without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How do you you know it's going to happen? How do you know you're going to get your healing? How do you know that God's going to give you the miracle? Because I believe that He is. And I believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Hallelujah. There is no doubt in my mind, Brother Pace. I believe that God is. And I believe that God is a rewarder. That diligently seek Him. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That devil's a liar. That devil is a liar. That devil's a liar. How many of you, the devil told you, you ain't ever going to get the Holy Ghost? Come on, how many of you, the devil told you, you ain't ever going to get the Holy Ghost? But you got, did you get it? Did you get it? What's that make the devil? Huh? What's that make the devil? How many of you the devil ever told you, you're not going to get your healing? But did you get it? Did you get it? Now what's that make the devil? The devil is a liar. The devil's a liar. You know what? We're fighting some unbelief in this house tonight. The devil's telling some of you, and you're believing it, that nothing's going to happen here tonight. I'm telling you, the devil's a liar. I'm calling the devil's bluff right now. In the Holy Ghost, I am calling the devil's bluff. The devil's a liar. God's got some miracles in this house. God's... Hallelujah. Somebody's going to get their healing before they walk out. Hallelujah. But I think it's time to have some funerals. I'm afraid it's time to have some funerals. Amen. Sit down. Sit down. We don't want to be shouting at funerals just yet. God said, Israel, every one of you is going to wander in that wilderness until every one of you that's 20 years old and up die. And the Bible says, we read it in Jude, that He did what? Destroyed. He destroyed. They didn't just die. He destroyed them. They didn't just die a natural death. The Bible says He destroyed them. He destroyed them. They died. Some of them died a long and lingering death. Because it was only when they were all dead that they made it back to Kadesh Barnea. But not there wasn't any of them that really lived a long and lengthy life. Some of them were 20 years old when they came to Kadesh Barnea the first time. Is that right? And it was 39 years later. All right, so 20 and 39, if my math is correct, that's about 59 years. Is that right? 20 and 39, 59. And that wasn't very long to live in that day. Moses lived how long? 120 years. So he lived twice as long as that. So, their lifespan was cut short by their unbelief. God destroyed them because of their unbelief. Amen? They died in the wilderness, but it wasn't just a natural death. They were destroyed by God because of their unbelief. And when they turned back to wander in the wilderness, I'm telling you, that camp was full of unbelief. It was just a bunch of kids that were the only ones that weren't full of unbelief. Only ones that had any faith, and their faith was probably, pretty weak at that time. They were just getting old enough to start exercising some faith. So they didn't have much faith themselves, but their faith was growing. And so, they turned back to wander in the wilderness, and folks start dying. Folks start dying. Unbelievers start dying. And they start having funerals. And there's just a small group of believers over here at the funeral. And all the rest of the congregation is unbelievers. They're all full of doubt and unbelief. And they're just a small little group. All right? So we got this first two pews right here. And these are the only believers in the house. Y'all help me just a few more minutes, all right? Y'all help me just a few more minutes. This is the only believers in the house, these first two pews right here. And everybody else in the house is unbelievers, all right? And so we're having a funeral, and an unbeliever is dying, is dead. You know, maybe we've already got him in the casket, and he's just breathing his last breath. But he's dying, and just about dead, and we've already got him in the casket, all right? Amen. And there's a little group of believers over here saying, oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise God. Woo, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And everybody else is saying, oh! All right, y'all help me now. I want everybody over here to help me. I want you mourning. I mean, come on, man. Just two rows here saying hallelujah. Oh, come on. Y'all can mourn better than that. Come on. What are y'all laughing for? You're supposed to be groaning. Groan. Okay. Thank you. All right. About 10 years have gone by. And now then we got a whole section of believers here. And all the rest of the congregation is unbelievers. And we're having another funeral. All right. And this whole section of believers here is saying, woo, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And all the rest of you are moaning. Come on, I may hear some groaning now. Thank you. That must sound a whole lot like when Moses was coming back down off the mountain. What is that noise? It couldn't tell for sure what was going on. You know, and that's the way it is when you've got a congregation, a few believers, and a whole lot of unbelievers. But about 20 years have come and gone now. We're going to have another funeral. And now then, this whole half of the congregation is full of faith. And this whole half of the congregation still full of doubt and fear and unbelief. Come on, can we hear some shouting going on? You know, there had to be times that those young people were growing up and they're getting older now. And I got a feeling, Elder Boyd, walking over there to Jordan and look and say, oh, I want to go. Oh, I want to go. I'll be glad when all this unbelief is dead. I'll be glad when all these unbelievers die. I'll be glad when we have the last funeral of unbelief in this house so that we can enter into that land flowing with milk and honey that God has promised us. And 30 years have come and gone now. And now then we got three whole sections over here full of faith. People that are saying, look, they're getting smaller. They're getting less. Unbelief is dying. Unbelief. You know what? It takes a while to kill unbelief. Oh, you know what it takes to kill unbelief? It takes a whole lot of praying and a whole lot of preaching. It takes a whole lot of praying and a whole lot of preaching. But if we'll just keep on praying and keep on preaching. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And we're going to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying Him. and building yourself up on your most holy faith. Amen. Amen. If I could get the music. Y'all sit down. That 40 years is just about up. Just a few days left. The last one. The last one. We got to have one more funeral. Just one more funeral. The death of unbelief. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When unbelief dies, folks get the Holy Ghost. When unbelief dies, people get healed. When unbelief dies, God becomes everything that He intended for Himself to be to His people. When unbelief dies, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. All right? Amen. Amen. We're going to just let this whole front row of young ladies, beautiful young ladies, my. But they're unbelievers. Oh, God. All right. Y'all start moaning, groaning. I can't hear you. Can I hear a shout here? Let's all stand. Now, I want you to listen to me. I'm so sick, Elder Gross, of ego trippers. I laid my hands on them. I want to tell you something tonight, saint of God. It don't matter which one of these preachers lay their hands on you. It doesn't say have faith in Brother Dudley. It don't say have faith in Elder Frazier. It says have faith in God. There's not a faith healer in the house tonight. Just Jesus. I can't give anybody the Holy Ghost, but Jesus can. No flesh shall glory in His presence. What He does tonight, He's going to get the glory for. Imatasha marikoto yomokaya mahaya. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you have a need in this house right now, I want you to come stand down here. Come stand down here. I want every preacher in the house tonight to be praying with me right now. Let's pray together right now. There's many that are coming with needs in there. Jesus' name. Oh,